Minnesota has a reputation for good fishing on one of those 10,000 freshwater lakes. However, it could soon get a reputation for producing not fish, but crustaceans. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Rural Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Ulbrich with Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and today we're going to learn about a new shrimp endeavor. Here to talk to us is Robert Gervais, Senior Director of Operations with True Shrimp in Ballaton, Minnesota. Thanks for coming on, Robert.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Now, True Shrimp is a part of the Relco family. For those unfamiliar, Relco is a pretty encompassing agricultural company. Where did the idea of raising and producing shrimp come from?
Sure. So John and Brian Nockmas, the owners of Relco, were actually down in Ecuador. And down in Ecuador, they're actually using a product in their shrimp farms that was produced by Relco and having success with it. And Brian Nockmas tells a story how he was standing on the on a dike of a shrimp farm one day, looking at the pond, and was wondering, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. So over time, they developed a relationship with Texas A&M University and Dr. Addison Lawrence, and they had developed this shallow water raceway system. So it uses a shallow water, 12 inches of water or less, and then developed this technology to raise shrimp in. And at that time, the patent, the license for the patent was owned by another company, and John and Brian had tried to work with A&M a little bit, and I got involved because I was the economic development director for the city of Tracy and tried to bring a shrimp farm up here. But at that time, like I said, it was owned by another company. They said, if you ever get the license back, let us know. We'd be happy to come down and talk to you because we're interested. Well, sure enough, the sunsetted. The other company failed to perform. And we were one of about 30 to 40 companies that went down and interviewed. So it was Michael Zabel, myself, and Brian went down and interviewed at Texas A&M. And I think they really liked the marriage of technology and the feed side with what Relco was doing. That was in August of 2014. In December of 2014, they offered us the exclusive license for the United States. And then in April 2015, offered us the license for the other countries that had the patent protection in. And so we started then in January of 2015 here in Ballaton. We took what was known as the old former industrial arts wing of the school and turned that into our Shrimp Innovation Center. And since then, we've added the reef, and we have also added a hatchery here as well. So that's kind of the birth of it.
So really, it took about 4 or 5 years to go from kind of just an idea to where we are now and really starting to ramp up production.
Correct. So, you know, like I said, we started with the Innovation Center, and that was really a way to kind of vet through what Texas A&M had done already. So it was a way to prove the technology on a much larger scale, reproduce their lab space because it was closing at Port Aransas. So to reproduce that so we could do more research up here when it came to feed trials and other related R&D we wanted to do. And created a larger tidal basin. So we started that process. And like I said, we've since then grown again into the reef. So you hear us use a lot of nautical terms. So that tidal basin, we changed the term for the super intense shallow water raceway. You know, when you talk super intense in the animal world, people get scared. And we want to separate ourselves from the other pond world systems of the shrimp world today. So you hear us use the term tidal basin. A reef is a stack of those tidal basins. So in the reef outside here, those tidal basins are 12 feet 4 inches wide, average water depth of 12 inches, and they're 150 feet long. In Laverne, the site of the first harbor, they'll be 12 feet 4 inches wide and 585 feet long. Here there's 8. In Laverne, they'll be 256. So it's quite a large facility.
So to insert a little bit of pop culture into this conversation,
sure.
When I hear shrimp, I get this image in my head of a Forrest Gump, right? Yeah. Purchasing a boat and going shrimping down in the Gulf of Mexico somewhere. You mentioned shrimp are grown in ponds elsewhere, but where is that elsewhere? Where else are shrimp grown?
Sure. The majority of the shrimp that you eat today are grown in Southeast Asia, India, or Ecuador, the majority of the shrimp. So that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions that's out there, that Forrest Gump is catching your shrimp, you know, that they're wild caught. 90% of the shrimp that are consumed here in the United States are imported farm-raised shrimp. Only 10% of the shrimp that are consumed here are wild caught, and most of those are consumed along the coast where they're caught. So, you know, Louisiana, Texas, and so on. So unless you're in a very high-end restaurant here in the upper Midwest, our chances of you eating wild-caught shrimp are pretty scarce. And so, like I said, typically foreign Southeast Asia is probably the biggest market that we're importing from. But out of that 1.9 billion pounds, you know, like I said, just a small percent is actually wild-caught.
So this is a really good project to, of course, we're in a local foods movement. This is a way to bring that local food here.
Correct. And, you know, who knows better about protein production than here in the upper Midwest, whether it's poultry or swine or beef? I mean, that's what we know as protein production. So if you've raised cats or you've raised goldfish or you've raised swine or beef or whatever, we can teach you how to raise shrimp. It's just another, it's another source of protein, and it's a little environment different with the water, but you know, it's really a way to replace protein. But you know, you're not teaching, it's not a brand new widget, and you're not teaching people how to eat shrimp. They've already done it. So it's just replacing the, where it's coming from.
Now, you mentioned conditions before. What are the conditions like elsewhere in those ponds?
Sure. So they're an open pond, obviously, outside, typically along the equator, because that's where the temperature stays the warmest. So in our environment, we're 80-plus degrees and above 50% humidity, and it's constant. If you think of the daylight-nightlight cycle along the equator, you know, it warms up during the day and it cools off at night. And as you and I are humans, you know, stress is bad for us. So whether it's cold or hot or flu, bug, or whatever it might be, stress is bad for us, same way it is for animals. So if you maintain a constant environment, and it's a perfect environment to grow in, it's no better opportunity to have that growth factor. So imagine being along the equator or in other parts of the world where you're farther away from the equator, and you get the bigger swings in the daylight, nightlight, bigger swings in the temperature, rainfall, fresh water going to the saltwater pond, etc. Another big factor is disease. So when it comes to the pond system, you know, shrimp are naturally, obviously, aquatic of the ocean species, and now you can find them in a pond. So now you can find all the disease that's in the ocean. The ocean's a huge filtering system. Now you can find that, and you shut the door, so to speak, and you lock everything in, and you've got quite a cocktail that could happen of the shrimp predators, you know, birds picking up a shrimp in this pond and dropping it in the adjacent pond or whatever that might be. It's an opportunity for disaster, really.
So then is there a difference, whether it's taste or protein count or quality, in the way shrimp are raised in ponds versus how you do it here?
Certainly by the time you eat shrimp here, it's typically been thawed and frozen 4 to 5 times by the time you get it to your dinner plate. The biggest thing that I can relate that to is if you go and pick a strawberry fresh off the vine in the summertime and you wash it and you eat it, it's never any better than that. Now you take that same strawberry and you thaw and freeze it 4 to 5 times, it gets kind of mushy and it loses its flavor. Same things happens to shrimp. So, you know, our shrimp are the freshest you're going to have outside of wild caught. You can, you know, get fresh shrimp, but also they're antibiotic free. You know, one way to combat the disease in the pond system is to just dump antibiotics into the water. Well, we're not going to do that. We're antibiotic free, and that's the way we're going to stay.
It's pretty interesting that, of course, we're here in Ballaton. That's where your first bay is. Yeah. You said you're opening up another one in Laverne.
Yeah.
Both of those are prairie towns, but correct, yet there's a shrimp company here. Yeah. That's just kind of an interesting concept to wrap your mind around.
Well, you know, the feed is here. So it's a lot easier to bring the shrimp to the feed than the feed to the shrimp. You know, a lot easier to transport those small PLs. And we understand that we have to control that whole supply chain. And what I say, from conception through consumption. So from a hatchery all the way to your dinner plate, we want to control every link of that chain. And so we have our own hatchery here. We've partnered with the Oceanic Institute. Yeah, it's a little crazy you're growing shrimp in Minnesota in the dead of winter, but it's really bringing them here to the feed source. So a majority of their feed source is soybean, you know, plant-based protein. We're working with corn and hard red wheat as well. There's some squid meal and fish meal in there, and then we have our proprietary black box, so to speak, that we throw in there as well. But, you know, really the food source for the shrimp is here. The feed is here, so let's bring them here. And like I said, we understand protein production. The best farmers in the world are right here in the upper Midwest, so why not bring it here?
And you mentioned the Oceanic Institute. For those who are unfamiliar, which is probably everybody, it's comes out of Hawaii. So, again, that's another pretty long-distance connection.
Yeah. So we bring our male and female brood stock in. They're overnighted from Hawaii on a FedEx plane to Minneapolis, and we drive up and get them. We also get our post-larvae or PLs from there as well, so they're once in overnighted. So they're cooled down, they're packaged, they have oxygen in the bag, and they're cooled down, and they kind of go into a sleep state, so to speak, enjoy the plane ride and bring them here, and then they start that process here. So lower the stress level as much as we can, and hopefully they enjoy the ride, and then start what shrimp do when they get here.
Thinking about the whole lifespan of a shrimp, mm-hmm. What is it like? How long does it take to go from larvae to finished product?
Sure. We're at a little over 140 days to get to a jumbo shrimp, or about a 35-gram shrimp today. So, which we've taken days off of that life, or that cycle already. We've improved with diet, with nutrition, and we think with genetics as well, be able to improve on that as well, and hopefully, you know, get that down to under 130 days here in the next few months.
We are speaking with Robert Gervais, Senior Director of Operations with True Shrimp. Now, you mentioned it a little bit before, but let's talk about that technology that you guys employ. You worked with Texas A&M to develop this pretty neat concept, but could you tell us a little bit more about it? What's interesting about this technology and what sets it apart?
Sure. So in the typical pond world, it's deep water. You're talking, you know, 9 to 10 feet deep. And there are some deeper water raceway systems out there. And the reason they use raceways as a technology is the water flows like a racetrack. It flows in a circle counterclockwise around our tidal basin. And the technology from A&M, and you can go out and look at the patent, but it has a tank that has an apex in it. With the average water depth of 12 inches, so there's 16 inches of water on the side, there's 8 inches over the apex, and that water flows counterclockwise. The reason there's the apex in there is as shrimp molt, as they grow, they lose their exoskeleton. Excess feed, fecal matter, etc., then gets swept off to the sides of the tidal basin, and there's a nice gentle current then that brings that refuse to the ends, what we call a sump. So our shrimp never live in their own waste. That waste gets swept into the sump, and then we exhaust that sump on a timely basis throughout the day. So it removes it out. We collect the molts. There's some co-products in there, chitin and chitosan, that are co-products out of that exoskeleton. And like I said, they never live in their waste as they do in the ponds. They're not exposed to the outdoors. They're exposed to a constant temperature and humidity. We worked with Action Manufacturing out of Marshall, Minnesota, to develop a robotic feed system for us that can deliver feed as often as we want, as fast as we want, increase or decrease the dosage. It's a great robotic feed system for us. So we used the upper Midwest farm boy work ethic and mindset to develop systems that were developed in the South to improve upon. Certainly nothing against them, not a slam on those guys, but just when you're faced with an obstacle on a farm, you learn to deal with what you have, and that's really what we've done here.
Is there any other technology that's out there like this?
Not really in the shrimp world. You know, pond systems are pretty straightforward. You either have a shallow depression in the earth along the ocean, which you fill in with ocean water, or you develop a dike system, and sometimes they're lined, sometimes they're just an earthen bottom, and you throw shrimp out there, and you can have a guy in a canoe that rows out in the middle and throws feed over the side, or you can have cannons on the side that broadcast feed into the water. You know, it's not very sophisticated in that part. You know, I think back days, you know, years ago when you used the term slopping the hogs, to the way the swine industry is today and how fine-tuned precision that operation is today versus slopping the hogs 50 years ago and where it is today. And I kind of look at us as being, you know, where we are today, that light years ahead of technology of how it's done in the other parts of the world today to what we're doing. We're not slopping the hogs anymore. You know, it's really advanced technology to do that. So, you know, another big thing is, you know, Novatech Industries out of Wilmer, Minnesota. So we approached Novatech about 2.5 years ago. There was really one beheading machine in the world that was automated today. So all the shrimp that you eat today that's beheaded is done by hand. And we knew we had to do it a different way. We couldn't have 25,000 pounds of shrimp coming out a day and having people sit around a table all day popping heads off in all different sizes. So we approached them, and Novatech is certainly known in the poultry world for touching every turkey in production in the world with their beak and claw treatment and inoculation, et cetera. So we approached them and said, hey, could you guys develop a beheading machine for us? And they kind of got a little goofy look on their face. And, you know, after about 6 weeks, they came back and said, yeah, we'd be interested in working with you. And so now they've got some prototypes, and it's an automated beheading machine that actually pulls the vein out as well. And they're actually working on the peeling side of things as well. So another Minnesota company taking advantage of building an industry here with us in Minnesota.
Now, switching gears a little bit, of course, there are other shrimp companies out there domestically, but it might not be on this scale.
Sure.
So I would assume that a venture such as this would include some type of government involvement. What was or has that process been like for you?
Sure. So there's a production incentive from the state of Minnesota that they're working through right now that would actually give us some money per pound of shrimp raised here in Minnesota with other shrimp farmers. So they're what we refer to as the cottage industry, those mom and pop type industries that are set up on a farm that produce a couple thousand pounds a year. So they can take advantage of this as well. It's about aquaculture production here in Minnesota. So they're working through that, which has been good. We haven't really taken advantage of like the Department of Employment, Economic Development, or Department of Ag yet as far as those funds go, but I think there's opportunity for us to do that. Certainly, we partnered with the University of Minnesota and did a economic impact study. So at that point, a couple of years ago, that we picked a pinpoint in the corner of Cottonwood, Murray, Redwood, and Lyon County and put a pinpoint in there and drew a 30-mile radius and said, if we built a harbor at this location, what would the economic impact be? And the University of Minnesota estimated that it would be about a $48 million economic impact within that 30-mile radius over that 18-month build. And ongoing, it would be about a $30 million a year benefit to the area. So we've really tried to work with the state to say, hey, we want to build an industry here, and obviously we're fledgling yet at this point, but really trying to build an industry here. How can you help us? So I think we're early on. We're probably about step 8 of 100. but we're making progress.
On your website, you talk about items such as social responsibility, food safety, and environmental impact. What do you see as your role regarding these themes being new to this type of industry?
Well, sure. So obviously, sustainability. You know, how can you maintain? We want to be green friendly in the environment. Obviously, it's hard to find a natural source of salt water here in Minnesota. You know, we're about as far away from that as you can get. So, you know, being green friendly with the environment, sustainability, antibiotic-free shrimp, the consumers, you know, getting the best product they can, the fastest they can get it, you know, quick to the table type stuff. You know, all those things are important to us, you know, feeding the world. You know, John and Brian look at this as a way to feed the world. If we can develop this technology, we can take this anywhere in the world and help create a protein source that can help.
Now, are you guys considered a wholesaler or are you retail products?
We're not selling any shrimp yet at this point, so it's still R&D, but the goal would be to have our own private brand of shrimp, but also maybe look at some private label brands with other retailers that are out there. So certainly in a 1.9 billion pound market, you know, you don't have to teach people how to raise shrimp or eat shrimp, but you know, how do you penetrate that market? And so for us, it's creating a brand that has the quality that, you know, it's shrimp is good for you to eat. High in protein, it's got the good omega-3, it's got the good cholesterol in it for you to eat. It's what today it's probably viewed as more of a luxury type food. You know, people eat it at Christmas time, and then again in the summertime, they do some grilling and that kind of stuff, but it's good for you to eat. So, you know, years ago, chicken was that way. You know, chicken used to be eaten as a more of a luxury food years ago. How do you change that paradigm of, well, it's a luxury, I'm only going to eat it on special occasions, to getting people to eat it once or twice a week? And, you know, our goal is certainly help with that, educate people on not only the benefits of eating shrimp, but making a cost-effective way to get that protein.
Well, the good news is protein is very hot right now in mm-hmm. terms of nutrition. 1.6 billion pounds of shrimp get consumed annually here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Nutritionally speaking, what does shrimp have to offer?
Yeah, so I touched a little bit like on the omega-3, the protein side, the good cholesterol. It's just good for you to eat. It's, like I said, our shrimp, antibiotic-free. To me, my opinion, they taste a little sweet. They're very firm. Just because they haven't been frozen or they've been frozen once before they hit your dinner plate, just a better quality product for you to eat.
And you mentioned that shrimp give off an exoskeleton, but is there any other type of byproduct that can be used elsewhere in the agricultural chain?
Yeah, so the chitin is a natural polymer that occurs in the exoskeletons, and that's used to make chitosan. Chitosan is used in everything from wastewater treatment to a fungicide on seed treatment to ladies' cosmetics, and we've actually had some people out on the East Coast use our chitosan to make a bone wax, and it's also used in battlefield dressings because it's a hemostat. So one of the gentlemen we've worked with created a bone wax with collagen, and it's used to weld the bone as, you know, they did heart surgery, they crack your sternum, they actually use that to kind of weld your bone back together, and it forms a weld stronger than the bone itself. So there's some really cool stuff. People stay up late at night thinking that stuff up, not me, but some really cool things happening. But certainly, you know, when it comes back to the egg side, you look at fungicides on seed treatment, could certainly be used here in the upper Midwest for stuff like that.
So it sounds like there's a lot of opportunity at some point down the road to expand.
Well, you know, back in the day, they talk about, you know, using everything but the squeal in the hog industry. Well, you know, we're not only using everything in the squeal, we're using things outside of that. So even though our waste stream could be potentially back used in a feed source with all the protein that's left in it and some salt, et cetera, you know, just looking at different ways, maybe some biofuels. So open to just about anything with not only the shrimp itself, but also the co-products that come with it.
Where can listeners go to find out more information about True Shrimp?
Yeah, so if you go to www.trueshrimpcompany.com, it has all our information, our bios out there, information on the company, you know, future investment opportunities, etc. So I'd recommend that you check that site out.
Robert, thank you very much for talking shrimp with us today.
It's always a pleasure. We get excited, obviously, about talking about shrimp here, and it's fun. You know, it's something new and exciting here in the Upper Midwest, and anytime we get a chance to tell our story, we enjoy it. So thank you.
That's Robert Gervais, Senior Director of Operations with True Shrimp. That's a wrap for this episode of the Rural Perspectives Podcast, which is a production of Egg Country Farm Credit Services. As always, you can get more great content by visiting eggcountry.com.